141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alan McGregor returns to Rangers as their goalkeeping coach. Celtic draw 1-1 with Shelburne as Martin O'Neill confirms Camilo Duran's deal is close and Rafa Benitez refuses to rule out becoming the next Scotland manager. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Marvin Bartley, fresh from, well, pre-season, building up to the new first game of the campaign. You're looking forward to it, Stenhouse Muir?
I am indeed. I was actually doing my own pre-season, just running from the car park into here, Andrew. I'm glad you didn't throw me under the bus, so I'll just tell people myself. But in terms of there, yeah, listen, we're looking forward to it. Obviously, like you said, the League Cup starts on Saturday. Played in the Stirlingshire Cup as well, which started on the 27th of June. We played the final yesterday and beat Alloa. So it's been a really, really good start. Really good people at the football club. Obviously, myself and Hasty have gone in there together. So, yeah, really looking forward to it, if I'm honest.
I'm hoping the start for you goes better than the start of this show, because as you mentioned, I was sitting here while the news was on, about halfway through the news, and I was just sitting in this studio by myself, and I thought, I'm going to have to do this hour by myself. The callers are going to have to phone in because I've got no one else to speak to. You're notorious for not being late, but just cutting it extremely fine. And I think today is maybe the finest that you've ever cut it. Have you been late before? I think you maybe been late once,
yeah,
have you?
Yeah, there was some bad roadworks out there that time. But it's all about the timing of your runs, isn't it? You talk about forward players, and if you go too early, you're offside. You go too late, you're not going to get the ball. My timing is absolutely perfect. So I've basically just scored, and now I'm sitting in next to you. I'd never leave you alone. If it was Gordon, maybe.
That's all right.
But not you, mate.
I'll take that. You ghosted in at the back post.
Exactly.
With 20 seconds to go.
Hit it over.
Yes. 0141 951 1025. What is catching your eye in Scottish football today? Rangers fans, what about the return of Alan McGregor as the goalkeeping coach? He has, of course, been there before, been associated with the club for so long. Are you happy that he's back? Of course, changes to the staff. Dennett McInnes putting his own stamp on things. What can that do, having someone else in that knows all about the club? How are you feeling about the transfers? What's happening? Quite a lot of talk about potential outgoings. Nico Raskin with his performances at the World Cup. Yusuf Chermiti, he's been linked with Lyon in the last few days. And what about incomings? Where do Rangers need to strengthen? Celtic fans, I want to hear from you, because I'm sure many of you watched that friendly against Shelburne last night. A lot of players getting an opportunity that maybe hadn't previously under Martin O'Neill. So who should get more of an opportunity? Who took their chance? Who maybe didn't take their chance? Where does Martin O'Neill need to strengthen in the coming days, with Camilo Duran looking as if he's going to join very, very soon? What about that interesting one? Rafa Benitez doing an interview this morning. He was asked about the Scotland job. He's currently unemployed, and he didn't rule out the fact that the Scotland job could be a possibility. That's quite an interesting one. He's not a name that I've heard so far anyone say.
Yeah, very interesting. As I was saying to you off air, he actually did a talk on our pro licence, and he was very complimentary of the Scottish game, and you know, spoke about watching it, and you know, naming players that you probably didn't expect him to know. You know, wasn't naming like Celtic and Rangers players. He was looking further down. You know,
Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, he didn't know me, but he didn't go that low. Not as low as Livingston, but no, a couple of Dundee United players and Dundee players as well. We had spoken about. So, listen, obviously Steve Clarke resigned. We all know about that, and it's about who's next now. If Rafa Benitez was interested in the job, I think the SFA would be fools not to speak to him at least. You know, a very experienced manager. He's won it all at club football. And, you know, if he sees himself moving forward in terms of international football, then I think he'd be the perfect candidate to come in and, you know, set up for the next 4 years.
Well, simple question for you Scotland fans. Rafa Benitez, should he be the next Scotland manager? Yes or no? You can let us know. And if not, who should be the top candidate? 0141 951 1025. But as I mentioned, lots of other stories doing the rounds. Alan McGregor back at Rangers as a goalkeeping coach. Celtic with that draw against Shelburne last night, looking to do their first piece of business of this window with Camilo Duran coming in for a fee that could reach up to £6 million. How are you feeling about that, Celtic fans? And fans of all clubs, many clubs, this will concern you, because the Premier Sports Cup is back this weekend. I keep on saying it. It's almost as if the season just finished. We remember the madness of the end of last season, and it's all about to kick off this weekend. So how are you feeling about your team's preparations? How are you feeling going into the first game of the campaign? You can let us know whether you're feeling confident, whether you're feeling concerned. There's more business need to be done. 0141 951 1025. You do have a very interesting group, don't you, in the Premier Sports Cup group stage, because from a selfish Super Scoreboard point of view, we're looking at the fact that it's going to be Marvin Bartley against Mark Wilson and Alex Ray at Partick Thistle.
And Tony Watt.
And Tony Watt, of course. But you're also coming up against your old club, which is a reunion maybe a bit sooner than you thought.
Yeah, 100%. You know, when I got that message, I was out in Portugal on holiday having a strawberry daiquiri. You know, I probably didn't look at the League Cup and look at the group. But yeah, listen, once I took the job, obviously you realise who's in your group, like you said. Thistle are in there and Livingston as well. So yeah, it'll be a reunion with some of the staff that obviously there when I was there, Andy and Cheb and a few others. And, you know, I'll be looking forward to meeting the new manager as well in terms of Glenn Whelan. So, yeah, looking forward to that once we get there. Obviously, you know, we've got a couple of games before that that we have to take care of first and foremost.
And another reunion, Mark Wilson up against Brechin, where you so fondly remember. We've been speaking about it on the show the last few days. There's a story from a few years ago in the show that he had admitted that after he left Brechin, he donated his tracksuit to a charity shop. Alex Ray then went down to the charity shop, bought the tracksuit, and then wore it on the show in front of Mark Wilson. So we'll see how he gets on against them on Saturday. Right, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Whatever is on your mind, give us a call right now, and we will speak to you as soon as we can. The biggest story, or the sort of most recent story that's come out today, at 5 o'clock, Rangers announcing that Alan McGregor is back as a goalkeeping coach. And it kind of just fits in really with what we've seen from Dennett McInnes and from Rangers so far this season and so far this summer, that they've been very specific about getting people in that have, I think Andrew Kavanagh said, about a Scottish bias in it. But not only having that, you know, in the transfer market and on the pitch, but also in the coaching staff. Alan McGregor is someone that's been around Rangers for so much. It's a real obvious tactic, isn't it, by Rangers and Dennett McInnes, what they appear to be doing this summer.
Yeah, listen, football's so important in terms of the culture that's there day to day. As football fans, sometimes you just see what's happening on a Saturday and seeing if it's coming together or it's not working. But, you know, like I said, that day to day, having that right culture, whether it's with the players or whether it's the coaching staff, or if it's both, you know, that's the optimum for you if you can get both of them doing it. And Alan McGregor's been there, he's done it. You know, he's been successful at Rangers as well as a player, and now he can pass that on. I know in terms of coaching, people might say he's not the most experienced, but like I said, you know, he knows what it takes to be a goalkeeper at that level. He knows the pressures that it does come with. Obviously, Rangers signed a new goalkeeper as well. We speak about it all the time. I came up from England, I didn't realise the size of, you know, Celtic and Rangers Football Club. There'll be players that do exactly the same that come from other parts of Europe or from down the road. So, you know, straight away you can let them know the pressure that you are going to be under, how to deal with it, because people are going to make mistakes, and that kind of how you deal with that adversity. That's probably the biggest thing, isn't it? You see people signing for Rangers, for example, they make a mistake and they almost crumble under the pressure. When you've got a coach there that's been there, he's made a mistake and he's came out the other side, I think it's really, really helpful for players that are put in that situation. So, yeah, listen, from Derek McInnes' point of view, I think it's a really, really good one for him. I don't think it'll be the last player that, you know, comes into Rangers Football Club that does understand the pressure straight away.
I wonder if the switch of goalkeeper, Jack Butland leaving, Ivar Pander coming in, just makes it a bit more important, because Jack Butland had been at Rangers for 3 years. When he was out speaking to the press, he always talked about the standards and knowing what it takes to play for Rangers. Having a new goalkeeper coming in, a younger goalkeeper, someone that's not experienced Scottish football, someone that's not experienced Rangers, is it more vital for him maybe having someone like Alan McGregor to learn from?
Yeah, I think it's massively vital. It really, really is. I also think on the other side of it, if you're Derek McInnes and you're going into Rangers and you look at kind of the former Jack Butland, you know, is he going in the right direction for them? I don't think he was. I think he began to make mistakes and, you know, unfortunately, goalkeeper coach, I know the goalkeeper coach had moved on, but, you know, you get the part of the blame for that as well. So I think it was a change that they definitely had to make. But like you said there, the new goalkeeper coming in, a young goalkeeper coming in, he's going to need as much support off the pitch as he's going to need on it. And like we said with Alan McGregor, he's been there, he's done it. He can support him through these kind of difficult times. And also, you know, day-to-day coaching, he'll improve him as a goalkeeper as well.
Did the fact Rangers made that change between the sticks surprise you with Jack Butland leaving? Because I think he'd had his critics over his time at Rangers. He's had some spells where he'd looked very good, other times where he'd made high-profile mistakes. Did it seem like an area that Dennett McInnes had to address this summer, or do you feel that, you know, it maybe came as a bit of a surprise?
Well, we spoke about it on the show at the back end of last season, and, you know, I said that, I think Gordon, I was on with Gordon, and he said, you know, that he could see Rangers bringing another goalkeeper. And I said, that can only happen if Jack Butland was to leave the football club. Still, I was surprised that he did go. I think as a new manager, you want to put your stamp on things as well. Ultimately, Rangers haven't been as successful as they wanted to be over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So you need to make big calls. You know, the captain's gone, that's one. Jack Butland, maybe he saw that as a position that he could evolve. Maybe he just thought we just needed to freshen up and make a change in that area. And you have to put your own stamp on things as a manager. Listen, it's very, very different if you come into Rangers and they've just won 3 trophies. They haven't done that. You know, that they've been failing year after year. And Derek McInnes, like you said, needs to go in and hit the ground running. So, yeah, once he had made that decision to get rid of Jack Butland, they brought in a really, really good goalkeeper. I've spoken to a couple of people who've played with him down the road and someone's actually managed him as well. You know, and they speak really, really highly of him. As I said, you know, it's just that pressure. Can you deal with that pressure? Because it's totally different to, you know, what you've experienced at Hull or any other football club.
Well, Rangers fans, let us know what you think about that. Are you happy to see Alan McGregor back? What can that do for the new goalkeeper, Ivar Pander? What about the futures of the likes of Nico Raskin? What about Yusuf Chermiti? What else does Derek McInnes need to do with the squad before you kick off your league action? 0141 951 1025. From a Celtic perspective, last night was the first real chance that supporters got to see the team in pre-season. The supporters that decided to choose watching Shelburne against Celtic instead of Argentina against Egypt. I think some of the ones that chose to watch it maybe regretted it afterwards after seeing that Argentina-Egypt game. Alex Ray and I were sitting in this studio at the time when that game was going on. Stayed late just to watch the end of it. Was an incredible end to it. Anyway, the Shelburne Celtic game, you know, pre-season, a very early result for Celtic. I don't think that Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham, will be bothering too much about the fact that they've drawn with Shelburne. It's more about players getting the opportunity and going out there, especially for some players. Cameron Carter-Vickers, for a start, who's been out for so long, just to get him back out in the pitch and back out playing and hoping that he will be fit for Champions League qualifiers would be massive for Celtic.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've seen a lot on social media where it's almost like football fans are talking about friendlies as their league campaign, you know, and putting a lot of pressure on people saying, oh, they're rubbish or this is not going to work. And like you said, it's just about, you know, if you speak to the manager, he'd be talking about players getting through 45 minutes for however long they play, no injuries, building their fitness levels up. You know, for all we know, Celtic could have actually trained before playing that. I've done that as a player before. You know, you've gone and played a pre-season game. You've actually done a running session in the morning before it. So, you know, different teams are getting different things out of it. I wouldn't read too much into it at all. Martin O'Neill and his staff definitely won't. Like you said, they just want to get minutes into players and the build-up for those Champions League qualifiers. That's the most important thing. Obviously, some of the younger players will get an opportunity to impress and stay around the squad when the season does kick off. But in terms of some of the more experienced players, like you said, Cameron Carter-Vickers and the likes, it's just about making sure they're okay, making sure they're getting through injury-free. And when they get to the Champions League qualifiers, they're as close as to peak fitness as they possibly can be. By the way, they won't be, because you need 5 or 10 league games to actually, you know, really, really hit those heights. But can you get as close as possible for it? Because ultimately, we know how important those qualifiers are.
A couple of the guys that started, Paulo Bernardo, who, you know, had a lot of promise when he first joined Celtic, had that loan spell, turned permanent, has really just drifted out of the squad and out of contention. Michelangelo Balakwisha, who was bought for £5 million, I think a 5-year contract. The two of them started yesterday. You know, I've seen some stuff on social media, Celtic fans saying that they maybe didn't take their chance. It's still very early in pre-season, but players like them who have already had a couple of spells under Martin O'Neill and his staff and already, by the looks of it, haven't really proven to them that they're capable because they haven't been playing, they haven't made it into squads. How vital is it for them to any opportunity they get now to try and step up and show what they can do?
Yeah, for those types of players, it's massively vital. You know, I spoke about Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, he's playing regardless if he's fit. So, you know, you're looking at totally different things from him. From Bernardo, like you said there, he's putting different pressures on himself because he wants to be a starter for Celtic Football Club. Like you said, when he first came in, absolutely fantastic, looked like he had real promise, and then he's kind of drifted away from that. How does he get himself back to those levels? That's the important thing from him, from a personal point of view, because he wants to be playing games of football. So you're right, you know, these opportunities, as early as they have came, and the manager just be worrying about people coming through kind of injury-free, you want to stick into the manager's mind in terms of, I've performed well in that game, I've did really, really well. If you're not doing that and you haven't been playing the back end of last season and sometimes not getting in the squads, you're going to find yourself in trouble, you know, before the end of the transfer window.
I always find the dynamic of different players in pre-season very interesting. We've talked about a few of them. A different one is Mike Navrotsky, who Martin O'Neill won't really have set eyes on. You know, we'll have seen him previously just watching Celtic games when he wasn't involved at the club. He was out on loan at Hanover last season. But the fact that he came on, I think, seemed to have quite positive reviews. He came with a relatively big reputation at Celtic. He was an international, just kind of faded from the scene. This is an opportunity for him now with some new staff in there to basically say to the Celtic staff, look, I'm good enough. You don't need to go out and buy someone and spend that money because I'm here and I can play that role.
Yeah, and listen, his experience of being at Celtic before and understanding the pressures and ultimately he kind of failed underneath him, didn't he? Because he had to get loaned out. But still, you know, that experience will do well for him. He now knows exactly what he's coming into. So over the summer, he'd have been getting himself fit, but he knows the pressures of playing for Celtic and the levels he's going to have to hit starting with pre-season games. Like you said, he's taken that opportunity yesterday. Can he build on that? You know, can he then say to, like you said, the manager and the board, you don't need to go and spend money here, go and spend it in a different position. And that'll be the ideal situation for him because he's came back from his loan. He wants to be part of what Celtic are doing going forward. But again, he understands the pressures that he has to be able to perform at the level that Martin O'Neill needs him to, so he doesn't go out and basically replace him again.
Right, that is the scene set. That is what Marvin Bartley thinks of the biggest talking points today in Scottish football. What about you, though? Rangers fans want to hear from you on Alan McGregor returning as the goalkeeping coach. What are you making of the business that's been done so far? What else needs to be done? Celtic fans, did you watch that game against Shelburne last night? What stood out to you? Any performances that you liked? Any performances that you didn't like? And what about the signing of Camilo Duran? That one looks really close. Could reach up to £6 million. Is he going to be the man to fire up the goals next season? And Scotland fans, Rafa Benitez, yes or no? Should he be the next Scotland manager? He's refused to rule it out after being asked. So you can let us know. 0141 951 1025. And we want your calls for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You were the Beat the Pundit champion last season, despite the fact that you kind of dipped in and out a little bit. You played a lot. I think it was maybe 17 wins from 17, which is a very impressive record. So this is your chance to have a bit of pre-season of your own.
I don't need a big pre-season. No, I'm Cameron Carter-Vickers. I'm just playing. If I'm fit, I'm going to be starting
straight
games.
Straight in there.
Yeah,
right,
I'm so not Lebrowski. I don't have to come and prove myself to
competitive
anyone.
Competitive action, like, straight in there.
So I could lose these pre-season games. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'll take it easy.
So there you go. If you want to knock Marvin Bartley off his high horse, ring 0141 951 1025 right now and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
I start thinking, what happens if somebody steals my belt?
Why would they steal your belt?
Your belt. Somebody could be stunned at the other end. Can they just take your basket?
Have you ever heard any examples of that happening?
I remember seeing a guy in the airport with four belts on. Would it make a difference to your day-to-day life if England went on to clinch this World Cup?
Oh, it'd be brutal.
And I fold the pillow in half. When I go to sleep, I stick the corner of the pillow in my...
You ever spoken to a professional about any of this?
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel or get it where you get your podcasts now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we want you to get involved. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Maybe you're looking at transfers for your club. Maybe you're interested in what's already happened. Maybe you're desperate for some signings to be made. You can tell us who you think needs to come in, what positions need to be strengthened by your club. 0141 951 1025. What about the Scotland managerial situation? Had gone pretty quiet, hadn't it, after Steve Clarke had resigned? There was a few names being banded about, but Rafa Benitez has been asked about it today in an interview and he's refused to rule out becoming the next Scotland manager. So would you like that to happen? Would you not like that to happen? And why not? You can tell us and you can make some other suggestions if you like. Anything else that is on your mind, especially ahead of the Premier Sports Cup group stages kicking off this weekend, you can let us know and we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You've not played at all this summer, have you?
There's no summer league. We've had this discussion before. There is a different
table for the summer, but do you want to know who's top?
It's going to be Gordon Dio.
Tony Watt.
Really?
Three wins from three, Tony has, in the summer league. Gordon Dio has played eight times in the summer league, and well, my sheet says he's played eight times, he's won six and lost one, so that maths doesn't add up.
Shock.
But you know, he's now taken the next 3 weeks off.
Why?
That was my question.
No one knows where
he is. He's not. I asked him on the show straight, why? Why are you taking the next 3 weeks? Because naturally, you're going to be suspicious of what Gordon DL's up to, and he wouldn't really give a straight answer.
I'm going to message him after the show.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I don't think he's going to tell you.
No?
No, I don't know. I mean, he's very secretive at times.
Maybe he's getting like a hip hop or something. Has he had one of those already?
He was thinking about it, but I don't think he's going to now. He said, I did ask him if he was getting surgery, cosmetic or otherwise. Yeah. Is he going to come back looking quite different? And he said, He said no. He claimed that's a no. So who knows?
Nah.
If you can tell us what Gordon DL is going to be doing over the next 3 weeks, you can give us a tweet right now. If you see him out and about, you can tweet as well. We maybe need to keep some eyes on him.
Yeah.
On him. Or maybe we don't want some eyes on him, actually. Who knows? Right, anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. George is up. Are you feeling confident, George?
Aye.
Right, okay. What gives you that confidence?
I want revenge.
Oh, have you played Marvin before?
Yes, he beat me.
Ooh.
George, don't worry, mate. It happened to 16 other people as well.
Aye. You only beat me with one question.
Oh, really? This sounds like it's going to be too tough a game for me on this.
I think before last season, there was a bit of shame in getting beaten by Marvin Bartley, but no shame last season. You were invincible last campaign.
But only by one, that doesn't fill me with confidence. I'm not feeling great today, George. This might be your lucky day, mate.
Sometime lucky.
Yeah.
Right, we will put something
third time. Who else beat you?
Duke Evans.
Who knows? This might be third time lucky it could be for George. Right, you'll put something else in the ear of Marvin Bartley, so he cannot hear us. For you, George, you know the rules, but it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yes.
Let's go for it. Who scored Celtic's penalty against Shelburne yesterday?
Shin Yamada.
Which English side did Stephen Naismith join immediately after leaving Rangers?
Everton.
The 2026 World Cup final takes place in which stadium?
Pass.
Who is the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
How many signings have Aberdeen made so far in the summer transfer window?
Three.
Right, we will bring Marvin Bartley back in. Can you hear us, Marvin?
Yeah.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Marvin. Let's go. Who scored Celtic's penalty against Shelburne yesterday?
Yamada, Shin Yamada.
Which English side did Stephen Naismith join immediately after leaving Rangers?
Everton.
The 2026 World Cup final takes place at which stadium?
I don't know, Los Angeles.
Who is the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
David Gray.
How many signings have Aberdeen made so far in the summer transfer window?
Four.
Who was the only Livingston player at this year's World Cup?
Titi Ingi.
Kingsley is the mascot of which Scottish side?
Oh, I can see him.
Come on.
Sent around.
Right. How do you think it went, George?
No, I think you beat me.
George, mate, you better hope not.
Right, we'll go through them. Who scored Celtic's penalty against Shelburne yesterday? It was Shin Yamada. You both said Shin Yamada, so a good start. 1-1. Which English side did Stephen Naismith join immediately after leaving Rangers? You both said Everton. You both got it correct. 2-2. Good start from both of you. The 2026 World Cup final takes place in which stadium? Neither of you got it. It is the MetLife Stadium, which is in New Jersey, isn't it? New York. So it remains 2-2. Who is the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership? It's John McGlynn.
Wow.
You went for David Gray, did you?
Yeah, I just thought like they had to be in just the top flight. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I suppose just at a Premiership, how long they've been at the Premiership club.
The word of that question,
John McGlynn.
Suspect.
Well, neither of you got it, so it doesn't really make a difference.
David Gray would have been right, wouldn't it?
2-2. Not even sure, is it? Might be. Anyway, John McGlynn was the answer, and you both got it wrong. How many signings have Aberdeen made so far in the summer transfer window? You both massively underestimated this. George went for 3, you went for 4.
Was it 6?
7 signings so far, and I think I saw earlier on they are close to making an 8th.
George, how have I beat you, mate? I'm really struggling here. George, can you speak to us, mate? You having a conversation in the background?
I was talking to somebody.
Did they help you with the questions as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't sound like they helped him with the questions. Right, anyway, that was the end of the road for George. And I am so, so annoyed that this is the question you win it on.
I'm not.
We ask former Livingston manager Marvin Bartley, who was the only Livingston player at this year's World Cup. That is scandalous.
Georgie,
come on.
I mean, listen. The questions.
If there's
are the
any
questions,
pundit to ask that question to,
the
it's
questions
not Marvin Bartley.
Are the questions? Can you read the question out and can you tell us the answer and whether I got it right, please?
Who was the only Livingston player at this year's World Cup? The answer: Titi Ingi of Australia. 3-2 to Marvin Bartley. You got one more question in. Kingsley is the mascot of which Scottish side? I thought you might have got this one. He's that sort of terrifying big star that wears a kilt.
Partick Thistle. I'd watched that show as well. That's why I knew Kingsley was right.
Yeah, well, you got that wrong. But it is a 3-2 win for Marvin Bartley. Hard lines, George.
Right.
You won again. Sorry, George, mate. That was a tight game.
Yes.
George, maybe we can take your mind off it. Who's your team, George?
Rangers.
How are you feeling about the... Well, first of all, Al McGregor back at the club as a goalkeeping coach. You happy about that?
Of course.
What do you think that maybe adds to the coaching staff that wasn't there before?
I don't know. He knows the club, so he knows what it takes to be successful.
And in terms of the transfer business, is there anything so far that you've really liked? Is there anything you want to see going forward, specific positions? Or
I'm happy with what I've done so far.
Quite happy. Do you think Nico Raskin's likely to leave? Do you want him to stay?
No, I don't know. I'm not too sure.
I think George is just all right about everything.
I don't think he likes you. I
don't mind it, no. He's actually just hung up straight away. Just trying to get a bit of chat going with George. He's hung up. He's
man.
Not having it whatsoever.
That was like an awkward first date between you two. You're just asking questions like that.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's a shame. Nah. Yeah. I'll just leave after this drink, shall I? Yeah.
Even... Love that from George. He lost the game. He doesn't want to speak. That's a real winner, George.
That's true. That's a shame. Oh, well. George was saying about Nico Raskin there. Is this the time for Rangers to cash in? Alex Ray was saying last night that Rangers have maybe missed the boat with a couple of players in the past, the likes of Ryan Kent, Alfredo Morelos, who, you know, had very good spells at Rangers, but maybe stayed on a bit too long for them to get that profit with Nico Raskin at the World Cup, performing, starting for them. Is this maybe the time that Rangers look to cash in?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he'll ever be worth any more to Rangers than at this current market and at this current time. Like you said, his performances, firstly coming off the bench and making massive difference for Belgium, and then starting games and doing exactly the same. So from Rangers' point of view, I think 100% he'll have more suitors after the World Cup than he had before it. Also think that his price tag will be higher after it than it was before it as well. So I think it's time for them to cash in. You then use that money to reinvest and bring other players in, you know, over probably three or four positions for the money they can get for him, and improve the whole squad, you know, rather than one position. I think, you know, in terms of Nico Raskin as well, the way he has performed at the world stage, he probably will want to move as well. So I think it will work well for both parties, if I'm honest.
And Rangers have been linked with quite a few central midfielders. There's Dragojevic from Partizan Belgrade. Dan Neal has already come in. Jens Hjertodal is the latest that's been linked. I think he was linked back in January. Norwegian central midfielder. He has been linked once again. Reports that Rangers have tabled an offer of about 5.3 million or so. May rise to more than that. Sort of figures that are being talked about for these players, you know, in the region of 5+ million, would make you think that if they're going to strengthen in that area, there maybe is someone that needs to move out just to balance the books and maybe balance the squad as well.
Yeah, I think balancing the squad's going to be one of the biggest things for Dell. You know, he had a huge squad at Hearts, you know, and like it's difficult at times for managers, you know, when you can almost have too many players. He doesn't want the same at Rangers. They're probably trying to do their business before potentially selling, you know, Nico Raskin, because then all of a sudden a team that wanted 5 million going to want 7 million if they end up getting, you know, 20, 25 million, or if not north of that for Raskin. So, yeah, they're probably trying to do their business early in terms of the players coming in. You know, they're not silly people at the football club. They'll understand that everyone has their value. And like I said, I expect Raskin's value to be hit this summer by multiple clubs. I think there'll be a lot of people out there now looking at him saying, you know, he could fit into our team, and they'll be willing to pay the money that, you know, Rangers will turn Rangers' head and make them accept the offer.
Do you think that could be stretching up towards a record sale for Rangers? Is it that big, or
what is the record sale?
Is it Calvin Bassey? He was somewhere between 20 and 25.
Yeah, I think it'll be north of that. Yeah, I do. I just think when you're at the World Cup and you're putting in some of the performances that he is putting in, he already had a lot of people who had eyes on him. You know, a lot of clubs did like him. But I think when you're doing it and there's so many people are seeing it, you know, for some teams down in England, you know, to pay 25, 30 million pounds isn't a lot for them. And there'll be other teams in the continent that want him as well. So, yeah, I could imagine that record getting broken.
It's similar, I suppose. That's kind of the dream for some clubs, that players going away to the World Cup, going on the world stage. You never know how it's going to be. Players are rarely going to damage their reputation by going to the World Cup with their country, but there's so much they can do on top of that. You look at Elijah Just, for example, went away to the World Cup. I think Motherwell were maybe expecting that he would go this summer, that they would get a good fee for him. For him to score 3 goals in 3 games for New Zealand,
yeah,
you're maybe looking at, you know, a good bit being added onto that price tag, because all of a sudden there's maybe eyes on him that weren't there before.
His price tag would have more than doubled, but you're right in terms of Raskin as well. You know, they're going to get a lot more money for him now. And as I said, the football club will have a figure in their minds before the World Cup that they would have expected, and they'll exceed that now. I really, really do think so. Also, they're going to want to improve the squad. They need to have a much better season than they did last season, because finishing in third place isn't acceptable. Derek McInnes will understand that. So if you can get £25-30 million to then reinvest into the squad and ultimately bring in 4 players for that, I think from Derek McInnes' point of view, he'll want to do it as well. As good as Raskin is, he's only one player. And also, when you're bringing in players, and you can use Raskin as an example, you know, they've brought him in, they've given him the platform to go and perform. He's done that. He's then got into the national team. He's now starting games at the World Cup. The next Raskin who's coming through, you know, might be a young player elsewhere. That's a lot easier to then bring them in, because you're showing that you've got the right environment for them to go on and do stuff. And that's without, you know, Raskin going away with, if he does leave the football club, with loads of medals. So imagine you come here and you actually win medals as well. You know, it's going to look even better for you from a player's point of view.
Well, I suppose a slightly different dynamic for Rangers, because it's not just going into pre-season thinking that you need to overcome Celtic, but Hearts aren't going to stand still. Yes, they've lost their manager to Rangers. Yes, they've lost their captain and top goal scorer to Rangers, but they've been very proactive in the window. They've got their manager in quite quickly. They've signed a lot of players. So it'd be interesting to see from a Hearts perspective just how they bounce back from what was an end of the season that will have hurt them so much, and then that double blow of losing the manager and striker. But the thing that you know about Jamestown Analytics, they're not going to stand still. They won't let anything like that get in the way of, you know, their ambition to try and get to the top.
In a strange way for Hearts, listen, they would never want to lose their manager. But when they've had the situation they had at the back end of last season, sometimes having someone with fresh energy, because there's no doubt about it, Derek McInnes was still there, he'd still be hurting about what, there's a hangover from that. You know, he's only human, 100%, being that close, you know, to doing the unthinkable that people was talking about at the start of the season. Hearts weren't even in, you know, the conversation outside of, you know, what Tony Bloom had said in the next 10 years, he hopes to win the title. So removing Derek McInnes from that and somebody going in with new energy, sometimes that can help you and help the players, and they've got a fresh idea and almost like a different, you know, look at what happened last season. You were that close, boys. Can we go on better? I think we can. This is how we'll do it, because they've got fresh ideas and there's fresh training. And all of a sudden, the players are now starting to be mentally stimulated as well, rather than them all having a hangover of what had happened before. Derek McInnes gets his move because he thoroughly deserves it. As I said, you know, he's nearly, you know, done something that hasn't been done for so long. Someone outside of Hearts Rangers or Celtic winning the title. And now he's got his move to Rangers, and that's all he'll be worrying about. But also motivation for him at Rangers will be, listen, we finished third last season. That can't happen again. So you're right. We don't just have to overtake Celtic. Hearts are in between us and Celtic at this moment in time. So we've got a lot to prove. And I think that's a good thing as well, because players then get the bit between their teeth. They understand that we finished third, is how unacceptable it is. And, you know, hopefully from his point of view, those players hit the pre-season running and they can have a real good campaign.
Right, 01419511025. Maybe you want to talk about Alan McGregor returning to Rangers. Celtic fans, what did you make of that draw against Shelburne last night? Are you excited at the prospect of Camilo Duran coming in as the first summer signing? And Scotland fans, Rafa Benitez, simple question for you, yes or no, should he be the next Scotland manager? He was asked in an interview earlier on today about it, and he certainly didn't rule himself out. So is that the right option for Scotland? And if it's not, who else would you like to see in the dugout? You get your call in now while I tell you about this.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. This Friday could be the day that changes your life forever on Make Me a Winner, because there's a huge £750,000 up for grabs. It was Christina who won on Friday, and now you could be opening your bank account to £750,000 this weekend. You can't win if you're not in, so get your place in the draw now. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find the rules for this network competition, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and don't miss out, because lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and after that all you need to do is just answer your phone and £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboards. It's the last chance for you to get your thoughts in. 0141 951 1025. We're going to look ahead to the Premier Sports Cup group stages starting this weekend, with, of course, Marvin Bartley, Stenhouse Muir involved. We'll take a look at the Scotland managerial situation with Rafa Benitez refusing to rule himself out after being asked about it today. Any other thoughts you've got, give us a call. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Gillian is in Sandy Hills. Gillian, how are you?
I'm not bad, thanks. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight? What's on your mind?
Oh, I just really, really pleased with the summer transfer market with Rangers. I mean, especially with Derek McInnes coming back in, he knows Rangers and how they work. There's more Scottish experience coming in with Shankland and McCrory, and also leadership with Shankland, and also Dan Neil, he captained Sunderland. Godfrey coming in, and the new keeper, and McGregor coming back as well to coach the goalkeeper. It's all good, and they've no overspent. They've done it with like kind of free transfers and whatnot. So I just think it's great, and up the challenge this season.
Yeah, Gillian's mentioning the, you know, some previous captains of clubs have come in at Rangers. You look at Lauren Shankland, who was a Hearts captain. Dan Neil was the Sunderland captain when they were in the Championship. And it's something that Danny Rule actually addressed towards the end of the season and said that his main focus going into the summer window was to bring in more leaders. He felt that there weren't enough leaders at the club. And despite the fact that he's gone and Derek McInnes has come in, it looks as if that's still a big focus for Rangers. I think Dragojevic at Partizan Belgrade has captained them and he's only 20 years old. So it's something that clearly the hierarchy at Rangers feel has been something that's missing. There's been that mentality issue that's been talked about at Rangers for a good while now. Does it look like that's what they're trying to address, do you feel, Marvin?
Yeah, definitely. And also they've lost their captain, haven't they, in James Tavernier. Mm-hmm. And obviously people have got different opinions on him, but he's been a captain of Rangers Football Club for a long, long time. So that's another, you know, leader, so to speak, that's left the football club. So, yeah, listen, we spoke about the pressures, didn't we, of playing for a club of that size. And when you do have people who have been leaders before and been captains before and dragged teams through difficult times both on and off the pitch, you can't have too many of that type. Yes, they need to be good football players as well to make sure they can contribute on the pitch, but we spoke about it before, you know, captains are normally people who set the example at the training ground. You know, everything that they do is geared towards a Saturday and going and winning games of football. So if you've got four or five boys who have done that, then you have some just underneath them as well that have probably been vice captains, etc. before. I think it's very, very clever from Rangers to go out there and get as many leaders as they possibly can. Like we said, they have to be good players and fit into that side of it as well. But if you've been a captain, you know, it's an extra boost to that. And you know, hierarchy and now Derek McInnes are in total agreement with that, because we've already seen in terms of transfer they've done this summer.
Quite a few other names have been linked. Gillian, is there anyone in particular you'd like to see come through the door?
There's a talk about Lewis Ferguson, but that's never going to happen.
No, do you not think so? Just too much money?
Too much money, I think.
Yeah, yep. I mean, reports in Italy were quoting, you know, up to £17 million, which would smash any Scottish transfer record by quite a distance. You would imagine that Rangers aren't going to pay £17 million, whether there is some lever there. There's been talk of Bologna being interested in Conor Barron or Nico Raskin, or, you know, it happening another way. But if it was just a straight fee of £17 million, I think that's just beyond the reach of what any Scottish club is going to be willing to pay.
I do. I think that's an awful lot of money, like you said there. Listen, if Raskin was to go in the other direction and maybe Ferguson plus money, then it could work. But if it was to be a straight transfer, I agree with Gillian. I just think it's just going to cost too much money at this moment in time. It's not something that I can see Rangers even, you know, having a conversation about, you know, when the figures are starting around that sort of mark, regardless of the money that they bring in from selling whoever they sell this summer. So, yeah, I think they've missed the boat in terms of Lewis Ferguson, you know, and they have to look elsewhere to now bring players into the football club.
What about Nico Raskin, Gillian? Because I've heard some Rangers fans saying that this is the time to maybe sell him with his performances at the World Cup. There's other Rangers fans that would want to keep a hold of him and try and build the team around him. What camp do you lie in?
No, I wouldn't mind if they sold him and got in some more experienced, maybe even Scottish players. And they just know how Rangers work. No offence to bringing in foreign players, but it's been a long time coming that they needed to overhaul that team and get some more Scottish people in that know how big Rangers and Celtic are. I don't think they understand, and they can't seem to play the way that.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously won't be every single player. It's probably right to have that balance, isn't it? Where if you maybe have too many players coming in from different leagues and haven't experienced Scottish football, it's maybe tougher for them to adapt if they don't have the experienced heads in there. But as Gillian says, if you're looking at specifically Scottish talent, there's probably only a very small pool for Rangers to choose from that improve the squad or improve the starting lineup, but are also available and affordable. That there's really not that many players at all, and Rangers have already dipped into that market in Lauren Shankland and Ross McCrory, but you wonder how many more there are actually out there that kind of fit into that category.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's a limited market for them, you know, if that's all they were looking at. But, you know, again, I think the point Julian's trying to make, if you've got maybe five or six who understand that, I think it's a lot easier for other players when they do come in, because there's a mix and there's a blend of absolutely everything in there. I agree with you. You know, if you have too many people that come into a football club that don't understand the size, don't understand the demands, and the first time they do understand it is when they're losing the game, actually maybe even drawing a game, and it's half time and they hear boos, all of a sudden they crumble underneath that pressure. When you've got players going in the dressing room with them saying, no, this is what's expected of us, just come out, and if we do well in the second half, they'll soon start to cheer us. I think it makes that a lot easier. So, yeah, listen, Derek McInnes will be doing his homework on every single player he brings into the football club. Like you said, again, Lauren Shankland, another one who's been a captain. You know, Rangers decided to go and get him, obviously, before Derek's even gone in. So he'll understand the players that he does want. You know, he'll know mentality is a massive, massive thing. He understands himself as a manager, the demands and the size of the football club. And every player he meets, again, he's able to have that conversation with them because he's lived and breathed it. He understands it, you know, rather than somebody coming into it and not maybe understanding it themselves. So, yeah, listen, Rangers will definitely do more work during this window. Will they bring in more Scottish players? I agree with you, Andrew. I think it's limited now to the ones that can potentially go out there and help improve the team.
Well, thank you to Gillian. The final point I wanted to touch on, we mentioned it at the start of the show, just Rafa Benitez being asked about the Scotland job, saying that, you know, he wouldn't rule it out. I wonder if one of the blocks there is maybe just the money when it comes down to that, because, you know, people are mentioning the likes of Ange Postecoglou and David Moyes that seem to be quite far out of reach. I wonder, would Rafa Benitez maybe fit into that category? Would it be more about him, you know, having to maybe take a bit of a pay cut from what he's used to?
A big pay cut. Yeah, it's going to be a massive pay cut he has to take. But again, it's a project, and if it can be sold to him in the right way, maybe international management is what he wants to go in. And by the way, don't play down the fact that everyone in the world has seen how Scotland fans have been and the praise they've got. If you're a manager and you're at that stage of your career and you're thinking, I want to go international football, I think you look at them first and you think, I want to be a part of that. So I think, you know, money does lure a lot of people, but I think, you know, the Scottish fans have been absolutely fantastic over the summer and even the Euros as well. And, you know, that could potentially bring Rafa Benitez in at a cut price because it's going to be a lot less than he's been paid before.
Well, thank you to Marvin Bartley. Wishing you the best for your debut as Stenhouse Muir manager in the Premier Sports Cup this weekend. Thank you to you at home for listening along, watching on the live stream, getting involved on the phones. I'll be back again tomorrow night. We'll be taking more of your calls. We'll see what Scottish football throws up in the next 24 hours. It's Callum Gallagher. That is up next on Clyde One.